It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 is where we're going to begin reading. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15. Looking forward to a wonderful study today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the reading, that we may get started and read Exodus chapter 9, beginning to read with the 15th verse. Exodus 9:15. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed of this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon him, and they shall die. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, so there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and break every tree on the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron, said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in the boiled. But the wheat and the rye was not smitten, for they were not yet grown, not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. What a wonderful opportunity we have to read God's Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time. I thank you, dear Father, that this is an opportunity we have to rejoice in your name, Now, please, dear Lord, that you would guide and lead us in your word today. Bring people, dear Lord, to salvation. Please, dear Lord, that they would be saved, that they would come to know you as their Savior. They would walk each day with you, trusting in you, knowing that you are the God of the world, the God of the universe. You're the only God, not as the Egyptians and as Pharaoh bowed down to so many gods. And we find that our God, the only true God, was victorious over every one of their gods. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us. Show us your way and will. Show us your strength today, please, dear Lord. Thank you for this time together. Bring people to your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they may be saved. Please, please that they'll come today. They need to come to the cross of Calvary, trust in the precious blood that was sacrificed for them upon the cross, that they could be saved. Please, that they come by faith and trust in Jesus today. Now we begin the study, dear Lord, so guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful chance and opportunity we have to come and study together. We have all these plagues that are coming down against the land of Egypt, the nation of Egypt, and against Pharaoh himself and against all the people. And what an awful time that has been taking place here, as we find Pharaoh refusing to do the Lord's will. Well, you know, as we look upon the judgments that's coming here, the judgments that come upon mankind as a whole, either has some of them have come or are going to come, we find that people reject the thought that it is the judgment of God. They can't imagine that could take place. You know, we find in the Old Testament many times where God allows an enemy of God, but he allows him and truly empowers him to come against his own people, against God's own people, Israel, to have them repent because they have went away and started worshiping a lot of these idols and gods that are in Egypt here. That's where they got them from. And then they get to the Promised Land. It was full of them too. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to leave all the gods of Egypt in Egypt. They were supposed to destroy all the gods in Canaan when they arrived, and they didn't either. They took some of the gods from Egypt with them, and they took, and not to mention just what was in their memories, but also then they turned around and did not destroy all the things in the land of Canaan. And so what we see many times in the process of time, that God would take Assyria, he would take Syria, he ended up taking Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and empowering them to come down against the nation of Israel. Came against Israel first, and then on south into Judah later on. And we found that he even gave them spoils of the land surrounding because of them doing God's service. And in doing God's service, it was destroying God's people. But because they had sinned, and they had walked so far away, and they were worshiping other gods. Now, do you think God's going to do anything different with this nation? He will send enemies of him. He will allow them to come to wake us up, bring us to attention that we need to turn to God as a nation. We need to turn to God as individuals and trust in him by faith. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, meet him at the cross, and when you begin to read his word, you begin to listen to this study, the Spirit of God, I pray, is touching your heart, is changing your heart, and bringing you to a place where you know that you're a sinner, you're lost, and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And I hope that happens today. I hope that takes place today during this study. These judgments here, These judgments were quite extensive, and I mean they were terrible judgments, horrible judgments, fearful judgments. The first, of course, was the water into blood. Then we have the frogs. Then we have the lice. Then we have the flies or beetles, whichever you want to call it. Then we have the cattle, the disease that got into the cattle. And then we have the boils. And now we're to the one with the hail. And that's the seventh, if you're counting. And so that's exactly where we're at. And each time we've talked about how that it was against different gods. And this one with the hail, it also went against the cattle and the livestock. And notice as we're reading this and studying this, that many times it is against more than one. It's not just one. God that it is against. Sometimes the plague that comes will be against different gods and many gods. And this one here, why we kind of have that case that it's against many different gods as we look at it today. Now, let's begin in the 15th verse here. And we have, let's back up to the 14th verse just for a second. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servant, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. And as we come into the 16th verse, we see the purpose. You know, God wants us to serve him and to praise him and to love him. But he will, he must be praised. He must be acknowledged as God. Our God is a jealous God. And he wants us to bow down to no other gods. And we find now in the 15th verse, for now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show to thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now look at that. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning. And the Lord begins to speak to Moses, and he tells him, that was back in the 13th verse, and he tells him, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. The whole purpose of bringing Moses before, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth, not just in Egypt, but throughout all the earth. And as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Speaking of Pharaoh, it says, each time there says, Pharaoh said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. That was the report that he was to do. Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him. And so, as Moses is listening to the Lord and listening to what he is to do before Pharaoh, the purpose of him doing that and saying, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, he is going to speak that to Pharaoh. That's words that's coming to Pharaoh, and as he is speaking to him. And you know, it kind of goes into a transition here. I will at this time send my plagues, for now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence. And he just continues to go as he is told to go and stand before Pharaoh and say this. And so it's two things. It is said to him very clearly of the Lord, and those words are carried out of Moses unto Pharaoh. And so, as he would speak these words, what boldness Moses would have to not fear the consequences of saying, as yet thou thyself exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Now, what is keeping Moses and Aaron alive? It's the hand of God. Pharaoh would have had anybody else put to death as they would come and have lifted up their hand against this man. But Pharaoh is helpless. There is nothing he can do. He can hold the people there. And if God would have chosen to deliver the nation of Israel out without this conflict with Pharaoh? He could have. He could have just lifted it up. He could have made all of Pharaoh, all of his servants, all of his armies, everything just stand still. And Israel could have just walked out with not a conflict, not an evil word, nothing. But the purpose here, as the purpose of Israel's very existence, the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, the promised land that they were given, all was to bring to light the God of Israel. That was the purpose, that they would see. And that's what that 16th verse says ever so clearly. To show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That's the purpose. That's why we're doing this. And he also desired that Pharaoh and the land of Egypt would have an opportunity to repent. If he would have just taken his people and left the land of Egypt, they says, well, that was kind of rude. You didn't even ask Pharaoh. I'm sure he would have given you his blessing and left you go. Well, we know now better than that. We know now that that was not true, because God did give Pharaoh a chance. He gave him an opportunity before one of the slightest plagues. God went, sent Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh and said, my people need to go and worship 3 days' journey. Please, may they do that. No was the answer. And not only no was the answer, but if you remember, that's when they lost the straw to make the bricks. And so each time there was an opportunity for Pharaoh to repent, for Pharaoh to confess his sin, for Pharaoh to let the people go. And every time that opportunity was there. And so you can't say God's not a just God, because God gave Pharaoh opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to surrender to God's will, and Pharaoh refused to do it. And here's what's going to happen. And again, he exalteth thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. In verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for unto every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Now, we're going to stop there just for a few minutes, because we're about to bring this next plague, the plague of the hail with fire, the seventh plague. Some believe it to be against Shur, S-H-U, the god of the atmosphere. Many believe that it is much more than that. It's also the god against the land of Egypt is dry. They have less than an inch of rain a year. And so for them to have the rain, the hail, the fire, the hail with fire, and this kind of damage, because they bow down to the sun, they bow down to the rain, they bow down to each the gods that they have made to control this. And so now here they need one of the atmosphere, and also we have the loss of the cattle. Man and cattle both, and of course the cattle to them are sacred, and so now they're being put to death by this large hail with fire, as the scripture tells us here. And it must have been the most awful judgment as it come, and we see what how Pharaoh responded, at least for a short period of time. It must have been a horrible sight to see, and the destruction must have been unbelievable as it was coming through. The question comes here, did the people of Pharaoh listen and respond, or did they follow Pharaoh's ways and did not regard this as being any threat at all? Now, we've watched each time these plagues are coming, we have watched the opportunity for Pharaoh to surrender to the Lord. But here it specifically allows us an opportunity for the people. Because send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the Lord, this is verse 20, he that feared the Lord, feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee unto the houses. So whoever feared the Lord and listened to the word of God, they were saved. Cattle and human alike, they were saved. But the one that regarded not the word of God, and see, we're in the same boat today. And if you're in the boat that is not regarding the word of God, you may go to church, you may answer all the questions in catechism, you may be on the church board, you may spend hours and hours and hours working around the church, you may have been baptized, everything. It's not enough. You're not listening to the word of God. You're listening to man's word, man's teachings, man's religion is what you're listening to. And if you belong to a cult of some sort or another, and there are hundreds, if not thousands of them out there, but if you belong to a church that does not teach the Word of God any longer, they don't teach the need to be saved. They don't teach the need of salvation. They don't teach the need to separate yourself from the world. They don't teach those things anymore. Well, that is the Word of God. That's God's Word, God's direction from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And if you choose not to heed the Word of God, then death is certain for you. Judgment is certain for you. That's what's going to happen. If you reject the Word of God, if you pay no attention to God's Word. Now here, the Word was spoken from Moses. It was literally spoken to them to hear it. But it is no less God's living Word than when God said to Moses and Moses and Aaron spoke to the people. It's no different than what I have right before me in God's precious Word. Because God has brought His Word and has had it penned by men of God, and the very pen that was writing the words was driven by the Holy Spirit, that the words would be right, the words would be correct. But today, we decide to heed part of the Word of God and reject part of the Word of God. Well, what's going to happen is it's going to mean death to you and your family. Now, you say, well, everybody dies. Yes, they do. Everybody that's ever lived to this point has seen death, except for two. God's seen fit to take those home with them home without facing death. But everybody, basically, has faced the grave. But that doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean that at all, because there is life after death. If you'll notice all the false religions, the false that have added to the Word of God, some have taken away from the Word of God and also added to the Word of God, but all those false, fake religions, they all believe that there's something after this life. They teach that. Well, the Word of God, my Bible, tells me clearly that there is definitely life after this life. There is eternal life. And there are two places for you to go. If you come by faith to Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven, as the Word of God tells you to, go to Romans. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 13, 9 through 14, 15, go all the way through there. Read those beautiful verses of Scripture. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him to the dead, shall be saved. The mind and the heart. Many people got it in their head, but few have it in their heart. And they need to come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved. Please that you will listen to the Word of God. Here the report went out. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants will flee to the houses. You'll be okay. He that regardeth not the word of God left his servants and his cattle in the field. They will be put to death. The Lord said unto Moses, here in verse 22, said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. I said it wasn't just the man that took the judgment, but also the beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. I can't attempt to explain this judgment, because we have never witnessed anything like this. Was it like a meteor shower that came down? But it just seems as though that the water itself that came with the thunder and the storm and the hail and the rain itself would just ignite to fire. What a horrible way to die. Being beat to death with these hailstones, and then as you die, you sit there burning. What a way to die. God said, if you fear the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, whoever does, and make his servants to flee to the houses. But if you don't, you're caught out in the field, you will die. And they did. And they did. They died a most terrible, terrible. Fire ran along upon the ground. The Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. We're not told how deep, how much, but we know that it was so grievous that without a question, man and beast that was out in the field died. Everything died. It didn't matter whether it was wild or whether it was tamed. They died. And we know that it was so such a judgment that Pharaoh himself sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. That's the first time we've ever heard that. The Lord is righteous. What words to come from this wicked man. And I and my people are wicked. Now many people would call that repentance and call that salvation has come to Pharaoh. And today, many people say those same words. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. Now, I've done all that I can do. I must be saved. But we know that Pharaoh was never saved. Pharaoh, in his head, used his mouth and spoke these words, but there was nothing came from his heart. And it's going to be the same problem that you're going to have when you stand before Jesus Christ. If you don't change your heart, and the only way you can change your heart is to be born again. John 3 tells us so clearly, you must be born again. And Jesus was talking to a very religious man of that day, Nicodemus. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand, because he was just in his head, not in his heart. but it wasn't long that it got into his heart as he listened to the Word of God. I hope today this gets into your heart. I hope it gets in so deep that you just call upon the Lord for salvation today. I hope you ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Please, that you would do that today without a question. Look at the judgments that's coming upon this land of Egypt and upon this man Pharaoh because he will not hearken to the word of the Lord. What judgments do you think is going to come upon you if you don't listen? Please come today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?